As I said in the series, Following the Shepherd, there are several ways that the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, leads his sheep, primarily through the Word. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, the primary way that the shepherd leads us is through the Word. The secondary way, or the second primary way that he leads us, is by the inward witness. Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit of God dwells in us four times in that brief chapter. And in verse 14 it says, And they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, if he dwells in us and he leads us, then it would stand to reason he's going to lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why Proverbs 20:27 says, The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the shepherd leads us by the word. The shepherd leads us from the inside out, by the inward witness, by the inward knowing. He also leads us by the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says, Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Literally, be the umpire in your hearts. We've talked about these things. He also leads us by the voice of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a voice. And just as Elijah experienced, you know, thinking that God was going to be in a fire or an earthquake or in the wind, no, he's that still, small voice. Many times it comes from within. Sometimes he comes from without. And he'll speak to you. I've had the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I literally thought I heard his voice audibly. If you were in the car, I bet you wouldn't have heard it, but I heard it loud and clear. And so the Holy Spirit does have a voice, and he'll speak to us from time to time. He also, at times, guides us, leads us through visions and dreams. But those times are rare. Everybody say rare. I'm a little leery of people who have a vision every day. You know, have a dream every night. You know, I was talking with somebody about dreams the other day, and and I think they realized, don't eat no more of that stuff. Don't eat no more of that. Giving you bad, don't watch any more of those previews, you know, give you bad dreams. All right? So every dream doesn't come from heaven. Every vision's not of God. You have to run all of these things through the filter of the Word, the inward witness, the peace of God, the voice of the Spirit. Run them through those filters. If they pass the muster, then if you have a dream and God gives it to you, when you wake up, you'll know exactly what to do. Only ungodly people needed their dreams interpreted. And so, you know, if you're a believer and you got a dream book sitting on your shelf at home, throw it away. It's not for you. All right. Then we also saw that at times the Lord uses prophecy and the ministry of the prophet. But there again, those times are rare. And we need to run all of those things through the same set of filters. What does the Word say about it? What does my spirit say about it? What does the peace of God tell me? What does the voice of the Spirit tell me? And I share the example of the sweet woman who prophesied me as a teacher in their Bible school, you know, about 30 years ago. Told me all the classes I was going to teach, and she had the curriculum all laid out, and she had nerve enough to say to me, Did you notice how I didn't ask you if you wanted to do this? And I said, Well, yeah, I kind of picked up on that. And she said, The Lord showed it to me. I said, Well, praise the Lord. And I went on and did what God told me to do. I wasn't studying her because she was wrong. Come to find out, they never had a Bible school. Had I listened to her, I'd have missed it. And so I had to run that prophecy through the filter of what do I have in my own spirit? What witness? What did God say to me? Are you with me? So all of you young ladies now know without a doubt that if some dude prophesies to you that you're supposed to be his wife and the Lord hadn't said anything to you, don't marry him. Are you with me? Come on, let's have some fun. All you ladies say it, don't marry him. All right, that's good. So you got the ladies involved now.
That's right.
I used to see that in St. Louis every time you turn around. And I'd ask these young ladies, what is the Lord saying to you? He ain't said nothing to me. You marry him, you're a fool. Are you with me? So we've got to run all of these things through the filter of God's Word. Now, Let's pick up where we left off last week. And I've never done this before the way I'm going to do it today, but we're just going to follow the leading of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is Peter recalling the account of when he had a vision, saw Moses, saw Elijah, saw Jesus, heard the voice of God thunder from heaven. And here's what he said about that experience in verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1. For we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I want you to notice verse 21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, listen to this now, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so Peter, in recalling this vision that he had, and he heard the voice of God from heaven speaking about the Anointed One, Jesus, said, we have something that's more sure, more steadfast, more stable than seeing a vision, than hearing the voice of God. And that is the prophecy that is written in Scripture. It's more sure, it's more stable, it's more steadfast than an experience, than a manifestation, a vision, or hearing a voice. You can count on God's Word. And so we as believers need to have the same attitude in that we give God's Word priority or preeminence in all that we do. And if somebody gives me a word, then I'm going to see what God's Word says first. If somebody teaches something that perhaps I haven't heard before, I'm going to see what God's Word says first. If somebody wants me to agree with them that some woman up in the choir stand is going to be his wife, and she happens to be married to another dude, then I'm going to see what God's Word says first, and then I'm going to act accordingly. I literally had a guy do that one time. Brother Bill, I want you to agree with me. I said, about what? He said, see that sister back there in the second row, second from the left? Yeah. I want you to agree with me that she'll be my wife. I said, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, I know her husband. She's married. You can't do that. That's goofy, man. He didn't even know the woman was married. What an idiot. I mean, you're going to marry somebody don't even know them. Duh. You're a train wreck waiting to happen. So we do everything based on God's Word. What does the Word say? And so, regardless of what comes down the pike, we've got to be people who give God's Word preeminence. Now, why is this important? This is important for this one reason, and I'm sort of going to blend these two things together so that you can see them. Paul wrote to Timothy, warning him and saying this, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed or paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know there are spirits who have as their primary objective to seduce you, to draw you away from faith in Jesus, to draw you away from following the shepherd? And there are men who teach things that didn't come from the Word, that didn't come from the Holy Ghost, but their origin is demons. And there are a lot of Christian people who fall for it. Why? Because they don't have God's Word as the primary source of their life. They're out looking for an experience. They want to hear your latest vision. They want you to prophesy to them. something that's out there, you know? And there are a lot of people like that. I'm talking about born again, spirit-filled, Bible-toting Christians who fall for this stuff. Doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Now, my role as a pastor is if I don't educate you and you fall for this stuff, really, it's, you know, I think I do a pretty good job teaching the Word, emphasizing how important God's Word is. So if you fall for this stuff, it's on you. Just don't tell anybody you went to MGCC. What church you go to? I'm not sure. Don't tell them you came here. All right? If you came here, you ought to know better. Now, if you went to the, you know, second church of the Goosebumps, then, you know, you might fall for some of this stuff. But now I'm going to share some things with you so you know how these things can operate. Now, because of this, and because of what some people are doing in the body of Christ and the way they are ministering, there are some weird people out there under the guise of Christian faith teaching garbage. Teaching garbage. I could name them. I'm not going to name them. But if you can go find them for yourself. All kind of goofy stuff out there. We have to be careful. All right? Now, what I'm teaching you is how to follow the Spirit of God and how to know the ways of the Spirit so that you follow right down the road that God wants you to go down. I'm teaching you this so that you stay away from the extremes. And the extremes are these. Number one, you just accept any prophecy that comes down the road. Doesn't matter how bizarre it is. And it doesn't matter how unscriptural it is. Or you take the other approach where we don't have any prophecy. We don't want none of that moving of the Spirit stuff. And we just stick with the Word of God. Well, both of those extremes are wrong. And it's sort of like driving a car down the middle of the road. That's where you want to go. But you can run in the ditch on the right side. You can run on the ditch on the left side. I'm teaching you this so you stay out of the ditches. All right? Let's avoid the extremes and let's follow God right down the middle of the road. So how do we know the ways of the Spirit? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is something that I saw recently. And I'm telling you, God has a sense of humor. He really, really does. And you're going to see this. God has a sense of humor, a great sense of humor. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in this great chapter, Paul talks about things of the Spirit. And he spends several chapters teaching on things of the Spirit. And really, when you understand the volume of what was written about the Holy Ghost, there's more said about the Holy Ghost in the Scripture than about a lot of things that we really hang our hats on. You know, there's much more in the Bible about the Holy Ghost than there is about water baptism. And there's some people who will fight you over water baptism. They'll fight you over water baptism, especially the formula. Oh, Lord, if you ain't down the right way, they don't think you're saved. But yet the Bible has volumes written about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and they tend to ignore it. Now, I'm one of these people that grew up in a denominational setting and background, and there were whole chapters of the New Testament we just avoided. This was one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, oh, we beat the daylights out of chapter 13. Love, love, love. We didn't do it, but at least we taught it. And then chapter 14, we just avoid it. Chapter 15, we talked about the resurrection. But I don't know why these ministers just avoided whole chapters of the Bible. And they would get into the ministry of Jesus and talk about the Beatitudes. They'd go to the Old Covenant, talk about the Ten Commandments. But avoid the ministry of the Holy Ghost that was all around these things. Avoid Jesus ministering to the sick and healing the sick, casting out devils. Just avoid that like it wasn't there. And then I started reading the Bible for myself and I almost halfway got mad. I'm like, you're kidding me. I didn't know this was in here. How come nobody ever taught me this? And things were just opening up to me that I'd never seen before. Well, we need to know the ways of the Spirit. Now watch this. I'm going to show you that God has a sense of humor. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a crazy city. It was not this little country town with a few farmers and a bunch of... Corinth was like Las Vegas. Anything goes in Corinth. Corinth was a wicked city. I mean, we think that we live in a time where wickedness is prevalent. And, you know, in the Pentecostal church, a lot of times, you know, especially the old sisters would get up and testify. They say, I want you to pray that I'll be the daughter that God wants me to be in these last and evil days. And I'm with that. I understand these are the last days and they're evil. But not much has changed. If some of these sisters went to Corinth in these days, it would shock them. Because Corinth had a temple dedicated to Aphrodite. And in the temple of Aphrodite, there were 1,000 priestesses. And the way you worshiped the love goddess was by having sex with one of the temple priestesses. And men would come from all over the known world to worship at the temple of Aphrodite. Because after all, you want to get close to God, this is how you do it. And who didn't want to get close to God? They didn't realize they were worshiping a demon. Aphrodite was a myth. She never existed. This cult was huge. And so now Paul is writing to men and women who are now born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, who have come out of that background and that environment. And so now he's teaching them about the ways of the Spirit. And watch what he says in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the word gifts is italicized in the King James New Testament. That simply means the word does not exist in the original manuscript. It was added by the translators to help clarify the meaning. Now, I understand what they were trying to do. But when you think of the spiritual gifts, if you will, you've got to think about them a little differently. Because the gifts of the Spirit are not like gifts you get on your birthday. They're not like gifts you get at Christmas. See, and many of you have birthdays this month. If I were to give Ken Nixon a birthday present, that present becomes his possession. He can do with it whatever he desires. I can give him a big old ugly necktie that says, Happy Birthday, Ken. And it can be the most goofy thing. You know, see, us fathers on Father's Day, we get stuff like that. See, my kids aren't here this morning. I can say what I want. So, you know, I got more ties that I only wear once, you know. I'm the dad. I got a shirt, t-shirt that says, I'm the dad. Well, that's cool. I wear that when I work out. But, you know, I could give him a big old ugly tie that says, Happy Birthday, Ken. He could take that tie and hang it in the back of his closet and never look at it again. Or he could take that tie and use it to hold some of his tools together in the garage. He could take that tie, throw it in the garbage. He could take that tie, give it to Victor. Why? Because it's his. It becomes his possession. He can do with it whatever he wants. Spiritual things aren't that way. They don't become your possession to do with what you will. In fact, the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. All of us have been given the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But these things happen as he wills, not as we will. So we're going to talk in detail about some of this. But here's the funny thing. Notice what he said. Now, I want you to follow along with me. I want you to get this. Now, concerning spiritual, the word spiritual is the Greek word pneumatikos. P-N-E-U, pneumatikos. It means things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. Things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. Now, concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, God does not want us to be ignorant. Now, what does it mean to be ignorant? That means you just don't know. Now, he didn't say stupid, but I'm going to show you something here in a little bit. But ignorant. God does not want us ignorant concerning things of the Spirit. And so that's why the Lord brought me back to this subject right here. Because as a pastor, if you leave these doors and you're ignorant about things pertaining to the Spirit, it's my fault. Because I didn't teach you. Well, it's not going to be my fault after today. Because I'm going to show you some things. All right? Now, watch. Follow along with me. God has a sense of humor. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me show you how important this is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And notice verse 1. Follow after agape, love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. There again, the same word, pneumatikos, things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. Follow after love and desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we're going to talk about prophecy here in a minute. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go over to verse 16. Notice this, talking about speaking in tongues or praying in your prayer language. Verse 16. Else when you shall bless with the Spirit, what does it mean to bless or pray with the Spirit? It means to pray in other tongues. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Notice this. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the, underline this word, unlearned, say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? Unlearned. Go down to verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you were mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now, notice that word unlearned. What does that mean? It's not talking about unbelievers. He makes a distinction between the two. One who's unlearned or an unbeliever. Well, we understand that unbelievers don't understand spiritual things, but there are some believers who don't understand spiritual things. They are unlearned. I was that way for many years. I grew up in a denominational church. I didn't know anything about the ways of the Spirit. I was unlearned. Now, God has a sense of humor. You know what the word unlearned is in the Greek? Idiotes. It's the word from which we get the term idiot. Idiotes. Don't be an idiot, okay? Now, the word idiotes literally means to be illiterate or unskilled. And so here we can aptly understand that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is letting us know that there are some believers who are unskilled in the ways of the Spirit. Well, if I do my job, you will not be an idiotes. You will be skilled in the ways of the Spirit. Y'all following me so far? Okay. Now, here's another reason why this is so important. If we don't understand the moving of the Holy Spirit, if we don't understand what's real and what's genuine, how are we going to spot a counterfeit? If you don't know what a real $100 bill is or what it looks like, how are you going to spot the false one when it comes up? You know what I mean? So it's my job to teach you these things, and so that's what we're going to do. Now, let's go back and clarify a basic point. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love and desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, what does it mean to prophesy? We talked about this during the series that I did on Following the Shepherd. He that prophesies speaks to men, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. It is an inspired utterance in a language that you know that will build people up, that will charge them, that will comfort them, that will encourage them. It doesn't have to rhyme. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Holy Ghost, or thus saith God. I don't know why when people prophesy, they shift gears and go over into Elizabethan English. You ever notice that? Yea, saith the Spirit of God. Well, just say what the Lord has inspired you to say. You don't have to add all the drama. You don't have to put the tags on it. Now, listen to me. Don't criticize people that do that, because that's what they know. Are you with me? Let's have some maturity about it. There's some people that's just the way they are. I remember a few years ago, you guys, Valerie, you'll remember this. The praise team was invited to sing at another church here in town. And so we went, And I told all the ladies, I said, ladies, now listen. You know I don't have a problem with this. But these people have a problem with women in slacks. So let's respect what they believe and let's not wear any jeans. Okay? Let's all wear skirts. Now, I'm not hung up on that. I'm not hung up on the clothesline, but they are. And so in order not to offend them, we modified what we did so that we could have a great service and they were blessed. In fact, they still have pictures of our praise team on their website, on their Facebook page. Now, Paul said it like this, if my brother is offended by eating meat, then I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. Because he may be weak in the faith in that area, I'm not going to offend him. Do you see what I mean? So understand where people are and respect those differences. If they say, thus saith God, yea, saith the Lord, well, don't criticize them. Y'all with me? Talk to me now. See, this is what I do on Wednesday night. I sit down and I teach these things. But don't bash them over the head. Don't go out of there thinking that you know. No, that's just what they know. That's what they know. And you can learn a lot from people who don't believe everything just like you do. Dad Hagin used to say it all the time, have enough sense as an old cow. Eat the hay and leave the sticks. They may teach some stuff that's not right. Get the good stuff. Let that other stuff go. All right? So if they prophesy and say, yea, thus saith the Lord, you know, oh, that's cool. Just listen to what's being said. Now, prophecy. How does it work? It's an inspired utterance that will edify, that will exhort, that will comfort. Remember we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Prophecy is an inspired utterance where the Holy Spirit moves upon you to say something. Now, let me show you an example of how this works. Turn with me in your Bibles to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When it comes to prophecy, I prophesied several times, but I don't do it unless I'm moved to do it. I don't say it unless I'm moved to say it. Because I'm not one who's clamoring for attention. I'm the kind of guy, I'll slip into the church service. If I'm not speaking, I'll sit on the back row and I'm just as content as could be. I don't have to sit on the platform. I don't have to be acknowledged as the Most High Reverend William D. Young. Call me Billy. That's the name my mama gave me. Call me David. That's the name my mama gave me. I don't care. Pastor's not my title. Pastor's my job. That's what I do. All right? So I don't need all that stuff to feel good about myself. I feel pretty good all by myself, just me and the Lord, knowing who I am in Christ. So if I'm not moved to say something, then I'm just there to participate, to help, to receive, whatever people need me to do. But let me show you how prophecy works. This is very important. You need to know this. Job chapter 32, there was a young man named Elihu who listened to this conversation between Job and his three friends. All these men were older than he. And so he started speaking in Job chapter 32. Notice verse 7. Elihu said this, I said days should speak and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. That word inspiration means breath. In other words, you men should know what you're talking about, but you don't. Understanding comes by the spirit of man and God breathes into your spirit to give understanding. Then notice what he said in verse 18. For I am full of matter. The word matter is the Hebrew word milah. And it literally means words. I am full of words, and the spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is as wine which has no vent. It's ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Now, Elihu says, literally, that the Holy Spirit is inspiring me from within to speak and tell the truth about what really happened. And I got to open my mouth or I'm going to bust. You know what I mean? Now, what was Elihu telling us? Words were rising up on the inside of him. The Spirit of God moved upon him to tell the truth about what really happened. And so you can see the Spirit of God moving from within. That's what happens when you prophesy. The Holy Spirit moves within your spirit and fills you with words. Now, most of the time with me, I'll only get the first sentence. I'll only get the first sentence. That's all I'll have. Just one sentence. I have to trust Him for the rest. And as I speak that first sentence, then the rest will start to flow. And it's happened many, many, many times. Most of the time, it will just edify, exhort, or comfort. There are times when there's an element of revelation that goes with it. Now, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was in Bible college, sitting in class one day, minding my own business. And the professor that day was a guy named Jerry Gross. He was a podiatrist by trade or by training. He always used to tell us he graduated from Tootsie Tech, School of Podiatry in Cleveland, Ohio. And it's towards the end of the school year, and all of these pastors in this room, and I got full of words. And so here's what came out of my spirit, simply an encouragement to all those pastors. And this is what it was. Go and be my spokesman. Proclaim the trumpet sound. Go and be my mouthpiece and let victory resound. Go and carry my name and stand bold in my stead. Go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go into the uttermost parts of the earth where seemingly no man has been. Go with assurance. Go with confidence, for it's my spirit that works within. Oh, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. Now, you think I stayed up all night thinking of that? No way. It came in a moment by the Spirit. So my job was to just realize that I'm full of words and speak them out. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. Now, He may do it differently than you, but for the most part, it'll be the same way. The words will come on the inside. You have to trust Him. Everybody say, trust Him. Because He won't make a mistake. Now, if you'll get out of the way, He'll say some wonderful things. Now, there are times there's an element of revelation that comes with prophecy. One time, I was teaching a new members class. I wasn't teaching, I wasn't preaching, I was teaching a new members class. And our church was growing very quickly in St. Louis. And I think in this new members class, we had 14 or 18 people. And that was my job, besides other things, cleaning the toilets, mopping the floors, driving the bus. I mean, I did everything, man. Setting up the sound system, running the sound system. You know, being an usher. I did everything. I was there to help the pastor. Whatever he needed, that's what I did. I'm teaching the new members class, and all of a sudden, I got full of words. Spirit of God moved on me on the inside. And so the pastor's wife was there. I let her know that I had something to share with the people. That's all you have to do. I said, Doris, her name is Doris Rice. I said, Doris, I got something. She said, give it. And so this is what the Lord said. What's to happen in the age to come? Will the life be manifested in the many or just in some? It'll be determined by obedience and steadfast love. It's not based on me moving, but what's done below, not above. Many will grow old in fullness of joy. Others will fall short, for they handle the things of God like a toy. Steadfastness is developed in obedience and love. So keep your mind on heavenly things and keep your heart pure. Be sincere in your worship and you will endure. I thought that was good. And it came in a moment by the Spirit of God. I didn't stay up all night trying to rhyme. I didn't think about this. I had no idea this was coming until I was into that new members class. And all I had, Janet, was the first sentence. What's to happen in the age to come? I know there's more behind that. Are y'all with me? So that's how prophecy comes. You get full of words. And I didn't need to say, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith God. If it's God, you'll know it. You with me? If it's God, you'll know it. It'll bear witness with your spirit. And so you don't have to add all the drama to it. Now, when those words came, you know, others will fall short for they handle the things of God like it. I didn't want to say that. I'm thinking, good Lord, what is that? What does that mean? Others fall short for they handle the things of God like a toy. Well, you know, most people today, when they prophesy, it's all good stuff. Oh, the Lord's going to bless you. You're going to meet a stranger. You're going to make a shift. You're going to take a turn. Come on, come up with something. You know, now the thing is the shift. God's doing a shift in your life. You heard T.D. Jakes say that, and now you're running with it. Come on, we got to get original. The Holy Spirit is a little broader than that. Are y'all with me? I'm treating y'all just like a Wednesday night crowd, okay? And so there are times the Holy Spirit will do things like that. Now, there are other times where it's uplifting, and it's but there are times there's revelation with it. Now, I want to show you something about these vocal gifts. Because Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, unless he interpret. So tongues with interpretation has the same effect as prophecy. But somebody has to be there to interpret. Now, there are people in our congregation who have that anointing on them. And they're going to get there. They're going to get there. I know who they are. I'm not saying anything. Okay? Tongues with interpretation. Now, for the most part, if somebody gives a message in tongues, I'll normally have a sense of what the interpretation is. God does things decently in an order. But rarely do I do tongues with interpretation. It's just not the way God uses me, for the most part. Now, I remember a meeting many, many years ago. A dear friend of mine from East Alton, Illinois, Robin Roberts, came to Erie. And he called me and said, the Lord told me to call you. And I want to share my heart with you, tell you about my ministry. He had had a meeting down in Salzburg, PA. That was the only meeting he had scheduled in Pennsylvania. So I was working on staff with Elder Carr. I'm helping him. I'm thinking, what in the world did he call me for? I'm not pastoring a church. I'm helping another pastor. Little church. So I told Elder Carr, there's a guy. We went to the same Bible college. He wants to meet you. So we met at a Perkins restaurant up on Peach Street. And Robin Roberts shared his heart, talked about his ministry. And Elder Carr said, yeah, that man's a God. We got to have him. So we had Robin Roberts come to Mount Zion Apostolic Faith Church of God, little church on the corner of 18th and Wayne. And he held a meeting there for 3 weeks. And I took Robin around, introduced him to other pastors here in town. The meeting started to grow. People got saved, people got healed, people got filled with the Spirit. And so one night the house was full of preachers. I could name them. I can tell you who was there. Bunch of them. And Robin Roberts asked Pastor Dumont to stand up. And he said this. He said, Pastor Jim, I've got a word from the Lord for you, but I'm going to give it the way he gave it to me, in tongues. And then he pointed at me. He said, and Brother Bill's going to interpret. Now, all the house is full with all these preachers. Now, if you're not careful, if you don't know the ways of the Spirit, this is when you start sweating bullets. And saying, oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus, speak to me, Jesus. Please, Jesus, Lord have mercy. And Robin's speaking to Pastor Dumont in other tongues. And people are looking at me. I'm just as cool as a cucumber because if God doesn't say nothing to me, I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm just sitting there smiling because I ain't heard a word. He didn't say anything to me. I'm keeping my mouth shut. And then these words rose up on the inside of me. Another step, another turn. I knew what that meant. He gave me the interpretation. But all he gave me was four words. Another step, another turn. So I got up after Robin sat down, stood in front of Pastor Dumont, and I said, another step, another turn. And the rest of it started to flow. Well, out of that meeting, Pastor Dumont, he was meeting at the Montessori School. They were renting space up on Steritania Road. He and Robin Roberts became good friends. Robin became one of his board members, and they built that building up on Steritania. And Paul Luciano built the school. And so now they're doing tremendous things for the kingdom of God. But he made another step and he took another turn, and look what God did. We need to know the ways of the Spirit, because he can do more in a moment than we can accomplish in our lifetime. Are you with me? And when we exclude him from what we do, we miss out on so much. We miss out on so much. And so we have to understand how the Holy Ghost does things. Especially with the area of prophecy and vocal gifts. Because so much, and I'm going to say this, I put a posting on Facebook, and I want you to understand my heart and where I'm coming from. There's one word that you'll never hear me use when it comes to ministry: prophetic. I don't use that word. You know why I don't use it? Because it is misunderstood, it is mistaught, and it is abused. I don't use that term. You don't find it in the Bible in that light. You talk about prophecy, you talk about the ministry of a prophet. But, you know, I've been in churches where everybody stand up, let's all join hands, let's all prophesy one to another. Holy men of God moved, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't say anything to me, I keep my mouth shut. You with me? But there's another side to that coin. When he does move upon me, I have a responsibility to share it. Because there's somebody out there who needs to hear it. Now, we were having a church service one time in St. Louis. And we had done some outreaches and some things with another ministry. They were down on Page Boulevard in St. Louis, which is one of the major thoroughfares. And this particular church had a Bible college. The first marriage seminar that I'd ever done was done at their Bible school. And so they were good people, loved God, but the focus of their ministry was deliverance ministry. And they took deliverance and ran it into the ditch. Are you with me? Deliverance is a good, valid biblical principle, but you can run it into the ditch. But they were godly people, they loved God, and so we had this joint service at their church in St. Louis. And we were in the suburbs. They were downtown, about to move to the suburbs. Now, we're having this service. I'm minding my own business, Ron. I'm not the speaker that day. I'm not even on the praise team. I'm just there helping. I'm minding my own business. And the Holy Ghost moved on me. And so I got the pastor's attention. I said, I've got something to share. And I had the first sentence. You've come this far and you've seen several stages. That's it. That's all I had. I didn't know what was coming behind it. I said, Pastor, I got a word. He said, give it. So I stood up, and this is what came out of my spirit. You've come this far, and you've seen several stages. But now it's time to make a move that will affect a multitude throughout all ages. Set your sights not just on the area round about, but set your sights on the city, for in it there's a great drought. A drought for the Word of God. A drought for the moving of my Spirit. A drought for the name of Jesus, yet there's a multitude that'll hear it. That was it. There was some revelation there. There are a bunch of people in the city of St. Louis just waiting for somebody to teach the Word, to manifest the Holy Ghost, and to use the name of Jesus. Well, that church moved to the suburbs. We stayed in the suburbs. Fred Price planted a church downtown St. Louis. The thing blew up. It just blew up. Why? Those people were there all the time. Can you see that? And so there are times the Holy Spirit will move on you, and you can share things with people that will, in a sense, give them direction. But that word has to be filtered through, what does God's Word say? What is God saying to me on the inside? Are you with me? What has the Holy Ghost said to me? How about the peace of God? Run it through all of those filters. Can you see that? And you don't have to rhyme like I have done from time to time. I don't try to do that. It just comes out that way. Are you with me? You guys learning anything? You picking anything up? And so that's happened on occasion. Doesn't happen every day, doesn't happen every week, doesn't happen every month. I wish it did. But you know what? I'm not the kind of person to try to push that thing. If the Spirit of God doesn't move on me, I keep my mouth shut. You all with me? How am I doing on time, Alonzo? 45. There you go. All right. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just giving you a flavor of what we do on Wednesday night. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm going to show you something that's vital, and you need to understand this. Because the vocal gifts are so important to the life of a church. The ministry of the Spirit, knowing the ways of the Spirit, is so important to the life of a church, because we can save ourselves a whole lot of time and impact people's lives tremendously. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. I want you to see something. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's a play on those words. It literally means be being filled with the Spirit. Notice verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, it's important that we understand that the Holy Spirit will fill us so that we can speak to ourselves. Everybody say, speak to ourselves.
Speak to ourselves.
So often we get so caught up and concerned with speaking a word to somebody else, where really we need to start with ourselves. Start with ourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, a spiritual poem or an ode, hymns, and spiritual songs. The word spiritual is that Greek word pneumatikos, things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you things for you. He'll put songs in your heart just for you. And so often we think that, well, I really don't matter to God. I'm just part of the group. No, you matter a lot. You know, the Bible says about those who overcome, to him that overcometh, one of the promises to overcomers is, I'm going to give him a name that's unique to him that nobody will have but just him. So there are times God will do things just for you. And he has things prepared. Roy, just for you. Special. Only you can partake of this stuff. And he'll keep it private from everybody else, and he'll put your name on it and say, this is just for you. And he'll do that by the Spirit. He'll give you songs. He'll give you revelation. He'll give you insight. In part, what I'm doing today, here today, and in my ministry, is because of what the Lord said to me personally years ago. Man, I'm telling you, if God hadn't spoken to me, I'd be doing something else. Y'all with me? Most people who've been through what I've been through would have quit a long time ago. They'd have said, forget this. I'm out of here. It ain't worth it. But I know better. You know why I know better? Because I heard from the Spirit of God. He spoke to me and told me some things. And when you hear from heaven, you become anchored like a rock. Come hell or high water, I ain't going no place. Because I know some things. Are you with me? Now, without the Spirit of God, I'd be in trouble. But because He spoke to me and I know some things, it's almost like Peter. Peter was hanging out with Jesus one time, and he was probably feeling all beat up because he just denied him. And Jesus is pressing him, saying some things to him. Peter, do you love me? And this is literally what Peter said. Yeah, you know I'm fond of you, Jesus. See, I mean, he'd already been burned. He'd already denied him three times. He's feeling bad. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He said, you know everything. You know I like you, Jesus. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? See, a lot of times God won't let you go. You acting like a knucklehead. That's all right. He's still in your face. He won't let you go. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. He said, feed my lambs. And then he said this to Peter. He said, you know, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do, went where you wanted to go. He said, but when you're an old man, they're going to take you to a place you don't want to go to. Speaking of how he would die. And then Peter looked at John and said, Lord, what about him? That's Peter. And Jesus said, if he stays here till I come back, it's none of your business. What's it to you? And so often we focus on other people sitting around us. Man, let that stuff go. Focus on what the Lord has for you. Focus on what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Quit trying to be a busybody running everybody else's life. You haven't managed yours that well. What makes you think you can run somebody else's? Did I just say that, Sister Bobby? I did, didn't I? Y'all love your pastor now. He said to him, if he stays till I come back, what's that to you? Feed my sheep. Well, because Peter had that word from Jesus, when he was arrested by Herod, James had been killed and sentenced to die the next morning. You know what Peter did? He didn't stay up all night and have a prayer meeting. The brother went to sleep, got himself comfy, laid down, and was out. Now, how many of y'all would sleep soundly when you got a death sentence the next morning? Peter was snoozing. That dude was in such a deep sleep that when God sent an angel to set him free and the angel walked in the cell, Peter's snoring. The angel had to slap the brother. Get up, man. Get up. Peter woke up, still kind of in a daze. The angel said, follow me. Peter said, all right. Walked out there, didn't realize. He thought he's having it. Didn't realize it was real till he's outside the prison. And then he realized, whoa. That was an angel. He just set me free. Now, why could Peter sleep so sound? He had a word from God. How can I stand and do what I'm doing with joy? Finish my... Because I have a word from God. It will anchor you. And in the same manner, you too can have that word from God if you'll learn the things of the Spirit. So, we need to first speak to ourselves. And let's finish with this verse. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Notice verse... Oh, let's find it here. Colossians chapter 3. Well, let me get out of Philippians. I thought that looked funny. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16 says, and whatever you do... I'm sorry, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here we have that same expression repeated again. First, it was directed to us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Once you get that down, now you're prepared to teach and admonish others with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when we understand the ways of the Spirit, He begins with us. He'll share things with you that you need to know. He'll give you information that you need to use. When the Lord gave me my assignment back in the 80s about what I'm doing now, He also told me 7 things that I needed to do for me. Protect my spirit. Get and maintain a clear vision. Be temperate, self-controlled. Be moved with compassion. Be faithful. Keep pride and criticism out of my life and ministry. Now, I will tell you about things, but as a most part, I'm not a critic. Remember one time in my ministry, I got into that. There again, I think like a teacher, and I'd hear bad doctrine, and so I'd start correcting it. And I'm telling the congregation what everybody else is doing wrong. And you know what? The Holy Ghost has a sense of humor. The Lord has a sense of humor. And you know what He told me? You know what corrected me, David? He simply said this. He said, you're not the sheriff of the church. That's what He said. You're not the sheriff of the church. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, leave him alone. I said, okay. It's not my job to straighten everybody out. Now, it's my job to teach you the truth and help you to recognize what's true and what's not. But it's not my job to be the sheriff of the church. That brother's wrong, and that brother's wrong, and that... I wasn't teaching anything. All I was doing was criticizing others. So I quit doing that. When He told me I wasn't the sheriff, I thought, oh, I'm not. I knew I wasn't. Amen? I'm not the sheriff of the church, neither are you. So leave them alone. God will take care of it. Now, there are times you need to point out some things and clarify things, and, you know, but for the most part, leave them alone. See, the enemy wants you to get distracted. He wants you to get distracted. Get off course. He wants you to leave the Word so that you can end up in a mess. Well, we're not going to end up in a mess. Amen? Did you guys learn anything today?
Hallelujah.
Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord.